It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and happy Monday to each and every one of you. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And thank you for joining us. You each are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Live with intention. You were made for this time, and strive for excellence as you take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I have the great honor to work with a great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Monday to you, producer Steve.
Oh, stop. We determined that a long time ago. That's just another oxymoron. Happy Monday, airline food, military intelligence.
Well, we're getting into the week. Lots to do. We've got a great show planned for everyone.
It's not always a Monday for me, but this board seems to be having a Monday, too. So.
Oh, now that's tough. Yeah. I hate it when the equipment has a Monday as well. That is very, very frustrating. But I know that you'll persevere through that, producer Steve. We're going to talk to our researcher, Patty Kurgan, in the second segment. As she is going through, she is sleuthing all kinds of different things, and she came up with something regarding our road and bridge funding, our transportation funding. And when we talk about the other side, the radical activist left, they have been busy for a long time. And they have been playing long ball, and we've been asleep at the wheel on that, Steve. So it'll be some very interesting sleuthing that Patty Kurgan did, so you'll want to make sure that you stay tuned for that. And then in the third and fourth segment, we will be talking with Ben Murray. He is the Fiscal Policy Director with the Independence Institute, and we'll again talk about this big transportation bill. But if time allows, I'd also like to talk with him about the bill of the day. This is a whole kind of overhaul of income taxes here in Colorado, and it's another end run around Tabor. And so hopefully we'll have time to talk with Ben Murray about that as well. Before we get to the bill of the day, though, several different things. This Thursday is our inaugural Salon Series web event. We will be doing Salon Series in person and Salon Series on the web. This is our first one, and it is Candid COVID Conversations. You can go to my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N, to purchase your ticket. It's $5 plus a $1 processing fee, and then you'll get a code on how you can go in and join us. And Ramey Johnson, who is councilwoman in Lakewood, this was really her idea, and it's taken us a while to put it all together, although I think it's good because we've learned more and more about this. Dr. Jill Vecchio will be talking about the medical aspects of COVID. Matt Durkin, who was a Jefferson County District Attorney candidate, will be talking about crime. Priscilla Ron, she is an educator, a teacher, a former principal, and she's also the new Colorado GOP vice chair. We'll be talking about the education of our children. And then Sue Kinfield, who is an expert on resiliency. We are going to talk about mental well-being. And I had some people comment on Facebook that we were not acknowledging that it was actually the government reaction that caused so much with all of this. And I totally, totally agree. So we will certainly make that clarification as well, Steve.
Well, I don't know. I'm just sitting here trying to take all this in. This is going to be, let me get this straight, make sure I have it right in my mind, then anybody can get it. The Salon Series is going to be a reoccurring different topic as you go?
It is. And we have done several different salon series over at Water's Edge Winery in person. And I think people really like to do that. But we decided to do this via web so that we just have a mix of things. And at that time, as we were working on trying to get this organized, we were not as opened up as it looks like we're going to be now.
Well, I think you guys are smart. I mean, yes, things are supposedly opening up, but yet there still seems to be so much leftover debris on what you can and can't do and where. So you guys are smart.
Yep, I think it'll be great. So we have created this very, very cool studio down in my basement, and it's going to be very, very neat. Let's see, what's the next thing we want to chat about? Let's go over to our quote of the day, and that is Mark Twain.
You know, I didn't want to go to this prematurely before you were ready, but something you were saying earlier about, you know, just being, having a information, I thought this is a great segue to today's quote of the day, so go ahead.
Okay, Mark Twain, his given name was Samuel Longhorn Clemens, was an American writer, humorist, entrepreneur, publisher, and lecturer. He was lauded as the greatest humorist the United States has produced, and William Faulkner called him the father of American literature. He was born in 1835, and he died in 1910. And this is what he said: if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
This is two sides of the same coin, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's what we're up against here now, what we've been up against, in my mind, for the last 20-plus years. You know, so many people who are not informed, and yet they rush to sources that are going to misinform them.
And I think that the misinformation out there is so significant, although when you look at this quote, in some ways it's nothing new. But yet, I think just the scale of the misinformation, because there is so much information out there now that it is almost like it is overwhelming, Steve.
I ran into something over the weekend. It might have been in the sermon yesterday, but made me think, nothing new under the sun. We can get so caught up in what we're getting slammed with today and think it's our own contemporary time. But then you'll hear something that makes you realize human nature is what human nature is and always has been. So, yeah, it's things that are long gone in our history, but quotes like this will bring it back and say, nothing new.
Well, and the founders realized that, as you said, human nature is a constant through each generation. And that is what was the brilliance of the American founding, this vision that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that government needs to stay out of the way. However, we see here in Colorado, and Colorado, my friends, really is the petri dish of the radical progressive left or regressive left, because we have things being proposed and passed down here at the State House that they're not even doing in California. So we have work to do to be informed. We need to be engaging in this battle of ideas with our friends, our family, and our colleagues. We need to get our election integrity in line here. We need to work to elect candidates in 2022 who are conservatives. And when I say conservative, those that believe in this vision that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that's our marching order, Steve, on what we need to do. Let's go over to our bill of the day. Of course, would you like to guess what party they are from, Steve?
I saw some new names today, so I rushed out to check on them, but still the same old thing. They're from that side.
And they're Representatives Sirota and Weissman, and Senators Hansen and Marino. And basically, it's House Bill 21-1311, income tax. It says, concerning income tax and in connection therewith, making the state's corporate income tax more uniform compared to other states. Now, there's other states that don't have any income tax. Do you think that's where they're trying to make it more uniform? Probably not. Probably not. And so it says, compared to other states, by replacing the current combined reporting standard with the multi-state tax commission standard and modifying the computation of the receipts factor to make it more congruent with the unitary business principle, requiring additions to Colorado taxable income in amounts related to limiting certain federal itemized deductions, extending the limit on the federal deduction allowed under Section 199A of the Internal Revenue Code, limiting the deduction for contributions made to 529 plans. Aren't those the things for college, I think, aren't those? Disallowing an enhanced federal deduction for food and beverage expenses at restaurants. Wait a minute. I thought we were trying to help our restaurants, Steve. Right? Government came in and closed them down, and now they want to get rid of some of the deductions for business expenses. And repealing the capital gains subtraction, allowing a subtraction from Colorado taxable income in amounts related to repealing the cap on the deduction for certain social security income. That's going to get everybody going. Reducing state income tax revenue by increasing the earned income tax credit, funding the child tax credit, and allowing a temporary income tax credit for a business equal to a percentage of the current conversion cost to convert the business to a worker-owned co-op, an employee stock ownership plan, or an employee ownership trust, and then increasing state income tax revenue by preventing corporations from using tax shelters in foreign jurisdictions for the purpose of tax avoidance, and clarifying that certain captive insurance companies are not exempt from income tax. So does that mean certain captive insurance companies have been?
It's silent on my side of the glass because I can't stop my head from spinning.
Can you believe it?
No. And there's a quote there. Oh, let me get change screens here. Yeah. But there was a quote there that caught my eye about the contempt for the taxpayer.
Yeah, and I think that's Ben Murray. So maybe we can ask him about that in the third and fourth segment, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, so unbelievable. But there you have it. I know that sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, but that gobbledygook is going to cost us all more money in taxes. That's the bottom line.
I'm fresh from, and you probably are too, from getting my property tax valuation.
Yeah.
And for the first time, you know, they always give you the option to challenge
it.
Challenge it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Because after that 21% increase a couple years ago, that's too fresh in my mind.
Yes, and we all think it's great that when our property is going up in value. However, there's that hidden tax as the assessed valuation goes up. Obviously, you're being taxed on more, and so your taxes are going up. And this is a way, Steve, let's think about this. Somebody that has been in their home for many, many years, this is a way that they can start to create taxes can increase to a point where people will not be able to pay their taxes. So from now on, and whenever we have tax questions, whether or not it's the park and rec district or the school district or whoever, my answer is no. They got to figure out how to be able to function with what they have, because as our assessed valuations go up, there's an automatic tax increase in that. So the answer is no. And particularly when you look at a tax question and it has de-tabering language in there, and Tabor is our Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, if there is a de-tapering question in there, you know that they're trying to get sneaky. And I don't like that when they do that. So vote no on that as well. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of both of my shows. They have five locations. They are, let's see, Loveland and Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. The Avs are in the playoffs. Great place to go to watch the game. They have all kinds of different specials. Go to my website. That's kimbunson.com. Click on my sponsor tab. Any of the sponsors that you see there, I highly recommend. Click on the Hooters tab and they'll give you all of their specials. Kids Eat Free, they have Saturday specials, happy hour, to go, dine in, all kinds of great specials. Check it out. We'll be right back with Patty Kirgan.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to you, each of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. Greatly appreciate you as we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, your favorite, Steve, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or what we've seen through this whole COVID-19 China Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and that is fear. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. You should be able to persuade them. Let's jump over here. Patty Kurgan does the research for The Kim Munson Show. She's an entrepreneur. She's a writer. She's an excellent researcher as well. And welcome to the show, Patty.
Good morning, Kim.
Patty, you in your sleuthing, as you were doing research, came across something very interesting regarding transportation funding. And this goes all the way back to 1997. And as you and I always talk about it, the radical, regressive, activist left is always playing long ball, and I feel like we're playing tiddlywinks. But what did you uncover, Patty?
Okay, well, there's two important questions that need to be answered by the sponsors of this bill. So for the listeners who didn't join us on Thursday, just real quick, this Senate Bill 260, what it does is a total of $5.3 billion for what they say transportation, but when you look through the bill, it really only gives $1.1 billion going to roads and bridges, which is less than 20%. And unfortunately, they were looking at almost half of the funding coming through federal stimulus money. And that money has been declared that transportation spending cannot be used. So that wipes out almost half of that $1.1 billion.
Okay. And transportation, is that just roads and bridges, or is that also the multimodal and all the stuff? Is it just transportation across the board?
Transportation across the board.
Okay.
But the $1.1 billion in this bill is only for the roads and bridges.
Okay.
And $660 million was coming from the state, with the remaining balance coming from the federal stimulus money. So first off, which I didn't mention the other day, is there is no sunset clause. So these taxes that are veiled as fees will never end. And why is that? So that's my first question that I want to ask the sponsors of the bill.
The closest you're going to get to eternal life on this side of heaven is these taxes or fees, right?
Right. The second one is, why are these legislators so hooked on fees? So a few years ago, it was in 2018, there was a member of the Legislative Council staff. Her name was Meredith Moon. She put together a chart, and it's called the General Fund Contributions to Transportation. And this can be found on the internet. And on this chart, it shows that in 1997, there was a Senate bill passed, 97-1. And per the chart, quote, this bill diverted 10% of state sales and use tax revenue to the Highway Users Tax Fund when general fund revenue was sufficient to fund Tabor refunds, the statutory reserve, and a 6% increase in general fund appropriations. So unfortunately, Senate Bill 97-1 was repealed under Senate Bill 9-228 when Hickenlooper was governor. And for 4 years, fiscal year 9 through 10, through the fiscal year 12-13, $0 was contributed to transportation from the general fund. and even the years afterwards was a very, very small amount. So basically, the roads have received no funding at all since they repealed it in 2009. So my question is, why can't we reinstate Senate Bill 97-1 and let the Senate Bill 21-260 die? And it has been estimated that if this happened, the formula embedded in the $200 million that they're projecting from the general fund dollars for transportation projects would work. And this is more than the revenue generated through the Senate Bill 260. And there are no additional fees or taxes on the residents here in Colorado. So for me, I think it sounds like a much better strategy for the people of Colorado and their pocketbooks. And actually, it's a better strategy for the construction and maintenance of the roads. It worked well until 2009 when the Democrats became the majority and repealed Senate Bill 97-1. I think that that's the way we need to go.
Patty, that is a brilliant idea. You should run for office.
That's okay.
Okay, so just clarify, in 2009, what you're saying, I mean, money did still go to roads and bridges. It's just that none of the sales and use tax money went to roads and bridges. Am I hearing that correctly?
Correct. So there was no money actually for 4 years that was given to the roads and bridges.
And at all?
Was funded, well, through the general fund. So the only money that they received is through the gas tax and registrations. That
okay.
was the only thing that was funding it.
Okay.
And even after the fiscal year 2012 to 2013, it was peanuts what was being contributed to roads and bridges. And last year even it was reported that CDOT, the Colorado Department of Transportation, said that they had $9 billion of needed repair and
right.
replacement and building of the infrastructure. So you have this bill, it's $5.3 billion, and only $1.1 billion is going towards the construction and repair and maintenance. So it's really not going to clean up the streets. We're still going to have the congestion because, as you and I discussed the other day, most of the money is going towards electrical vehicles and multimodal projects
mm-hmm.
that have nothing to do with the roads and bridges.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Patty, that is so interesting. So that started in 2009. Now, when I got on city council, I served from 2012 to 2016, which that's coming in now. Then you said that there was 4 years there that no money was spent on roads and bridges from the
Correct.
General fund. But that was a time that, as I was sitting on city council, the drumbeat that you were hearing regarding roads and bridges and how important that was, they were holding us hostage, if you will, not putting any money in that. And they talked about congestion all the time and how all the transportation funding would get rid of congestion. And I'm realizing now that narrative there, they were starving roads and bridges, putting money into light rail, big money into light rail. And the narrative, again, it was a classic bait and switch, Patty.
Oh, exactly. Well, as we keep saying, they want to get us out of our cars. They want to restrict our movement. And this is how you do it.
Well, and I was talking to Karen Levine, and she's going to be on the show on Wednesday. But she said one of the things that when she was in these meetings the last couple of weeks on the National Board of Realtors is that there's this push for a 15-minute neighborhood, that people basically live 15 minutes within their work and their play and their shopping. It's like, wait a minute, should government policy be making that decision, or should people be making that decision? And of course, as they try to limit our mobility, Helen Raleigh, who grew up in China, said the difference between a free society and a non-free society is a free society, you get to go where you want to, when you want to, which is your personal vehicle. And a non-free society, you go where they want you to, when they want you to, and that's your bus, your bike, and your train society. Patty, what's your final thoughts you want to leave with listeners this morning?
Well, it goes back to even COVID clearly showed us, it's all about power and control. So, yes, they want to control our movement, and in doing so, then they have the power to regulate what we do.
And then we want to control our movement, our education, our housing. And one of the things, Patty, and we were talking about it regarding this income tax bill, is the World Economic Forum, one of their goals for 2030 is that people don't own anything, so taking away private property rights. And one of the ways they do that is with taxation. So we see the taxation over here on the transportation bill. They just call it fees. And then we also see it on income tax. It's just kind of astonishing with what's going on here in Colorado, Patty. I sure appreciate all the great work that you do, Patty.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, keep it up. We're going to jump over here to Jason McBride. Jason, we talked about that transportation bill last week. And this income tax changes, or these income tax changes under Senate Bill 21-1311, is really going to hurt people as well. I know that you're trying to help people look into the future and plan for it, but man, it's making it difficult, Jason.
Well, it certainly does, Kim, and I think I'm in your camp at this point, and probably have been for a long time, frankly, that any time there's any ask to take more taxes, my answer is automatically just been no. It seems like for years and years they always tried to pull on the heartstrings and claim that, you know, they're going to raise the taxes and it's all going to go to cute little school children. Well, that never really happened, and now they're just taking a different tactic that says, we don't care what you think, we're just going to raise them anyway.
I know it. And here in Colorado, Jason, I feel that we are at the tip of the spear. They are trying to out-California here. That's why it's so important to sit down, have a plan, assess your knowns that you have there. But also, I think people need to take kind of a reassessment as well. And I would recommend that if people want to reassess portfolios, or if I know you're doing annuity checkups, those two things I don't think cost anything if people give you a call, correct, Jason?
Yes, that's right. There won't be any hidden taxes or fees for that. So it's pretty straightforward to kind of do a portfolio checkup, as you said, Kim. Again, a lot of people have annuities they might have bought a while back and kind of forgotten all of the features and how they work. And I have found once people actually know what they own, they're usually pretty happy with what they have, which it's always nice to go from being concerned to happy, and especially if it doesn't cost you anything to get there.
That's for sure. How can people reach you, Jason McBride? You're a Senior VP of Presidential Wealth Management. What's the best way to reach you?
Best way is just the old school way, Kim. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Ben Murray is the Fiscal Policy Director with the Independence Institute, and he's actually written on a couple of different things. One is the Senate Bill 21-260, which is the transportation bill, and then also he's just written a piece regarding this income tax bill that we just talked about this morning, and that's House Bill 21-1311. So stay tuned. I'd like to ask him about both of those, and you won't want to miss it.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And go over to the website and buy your ticket. They're $5 plus a $1 processing fee for our web event, our Salon Series web event, our inaugural one, which is on Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m., Candid Covid Conversations with Dr. Jill Vecchio, Matt Durkin, Priscilla Ron, Sue Kinfield, Ramey Johnson, and myself. You can buy those there. Thrilled to have on the line with me Ben Murray. And he is the fiscal policy director with the Independence Institute. And he is watching like a hawk some of these bills that are coming through. Ben Murray, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk, first of all, about Senate Bill 260, this transportation bill. And you've written a couple of different pieces there that are at Complete Colorado. But one of them that it is funding is being funded on the backs of our poorest Coloradans. So tell us what we need to know about this Senate Bill 260.
Well, first of all, it's I'll give you the high level stuff. It's about $5.3 billion in spending over the next 10 years or so. Now, $3.8 billion of that, so the vast majority of it, is not coming from existing taxes, existing money coming in, say, from the federal government. $3.8 billion of that is coming from brand new fees on Coloradans, and the lion's share of that is a new gas fee that you know is really a tax, but they're calling it a gas fee.
Okay, and so what that means is gas is going to become even more expensive at the pump. We've seen with the Harris-Biden policies, shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, and then here in Colorado, what's going on at the legislature to try to make it more and more difficult for our oil and gas companies to operate, to look for oil and gas here in Colorado. All that makes fuel more expensive. And then you add on additional fees. And they're calling them fees, not taxes, Ben, because I think they're doing an in run around our Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, or TABOR.
I mean, that's certainly what it looks like. They deny it. They've been denying it till they're blue in the face. But
no pun intended, right?
If you look at everything they're doing, it certainly looks that way. Because what we did is, well, you know, a long time ago, we passed TABOR. But rightly so, the authors of TABOR put in a little exception for enterprises. They said, okay, if you've set up a government enterprise, which is basically a government-run business that operates the business through fees for service, then you don't have to get voter approval for the fees from that enterprise like you do for taxes. And this makes sense because you don't want to have a statewide, or the need for a statewide vote of the people every time you say have a state university, which is, you know, operates as an enterprise for tax purposes. You don't want them every time they're going to go, say, raise their book fees by a dollar. You don't want to have a statewide vote, or anytime a state park says, you know what, park maintenance has gotten more expensive, we're going to raise our entrance fee from $10 to $10.50. You don't want to have a statewide ballot referendum for that. So this made sense. The problem is that the state started using this, the legislators started using this, particularly when Colorado started turning blue. Not that it wasn't used previous to that, but it became rampant when Colorado started turning blue. And they'll say, okay, well, we'll just call everything a fee and create enterprises for everything so we never have to ask anybody. And so what we did last year is voters came back and we said, no. This, you can't just go around creating the faster fee and hospital provider fee and hundreds of millions of dollars in new fees and then, you know, avoid this voter approval requirement. So we're going to pass Proposition 117 that's passed last November, and it says if you pass a large new fee, meaning it generates over $100 million in revenue in 5 years, then you have to come and ask the people. You have to get a vote of the people. And this made sense, again, because, you know, that high threshold, voters did that sort of in good faith, right, rather than sort of blowing up the system and saying, nope, you're going to have to get voter approval every time you want to raise a state park entrance fee. They said, no, we're going to be reasonable. We know you're using this to do an end run around the voters, this fee thing, but we're still going to be reasonable. We're going to have a $100 million threshold. And so what the legislature has done with this quote-unquote transportation bill is they said, okay, so we'll just create four new enterprises that all together amount to far more than $100 million in the first 5 years. But we'll split it up into four enterprises that all basically do the same thing, so that way we technically aren't subject to Proposition 117. And since they're fees, then we're not subject to TABOR either. And then actually, the gas fee is a little bit different because it doesn't go into an enterprise. It goes into the Highway Users Tax Fund, which is subject to TABOR in the sense of there's a TABOR cap, right? We all know about the TABOR refunds that we haven't gotten in forever. It does count towards that TABOR cap and the TABOR refund. But since they call it a fee, it's still not subject to the TABOR voting requirement. But since it doesn't go into an enterprise, it's not subject to Prop 117 either. And then, so of course, you're probably asking yourself, well, then we're going to get a TABOR refund, right? Because they just increased taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars or fees. But another, you know, they increased revenue, TABOR revenue, by hundreds of millions. So we're going to get a tax refund, right? No. You don't get that either, because they also went ahead and increased the TABOR cap by $225 million. So they've just done everything they can to bend over backwards to make sure that they're getting around tabling 117. I know that was a long explanation, but I think it was worth hearing.
Oh, it's absolutely so important. And Ben, another thing, Patty Kurgan, who does our research, was looking at the fiscal note on this, and it specifically says there that if one of these enterprises is getting to a point where that they're bumping up against that $100 million, that then they are to reduce the fees so that they don't do that. So it is the disrespect that they have for everyday Coloradans, and the disregard and the dishonesty, because in the spirit of how TABOR was passed, as well as 117, there's kind of a spirit of something, and that is okay, as you mentioned, the voters said, okay, you know, it makes sense to not have to come to the voters for this and this and this, and that's why 117 was passed. And just the, I said in our promo that they should get a gold medal down at the State House for the gymnastics that they're doing to try to get around having to ask the people about this. What's your comment, Ben?
No, I absolutely agree. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to the Senate Finance Committee hearing on this and the Senate floor debate on this, and I picked up a few quotes from some of the leaders of this bill. I just want to read a couple of them. Because not only are they doing this, but they're acting like they're actually being accountable to the people, right? And they're acting like they have all this public support. So Senator Leader Finberg in the Senate, Senate Leader Finberg, he says, "We know when we ask voters what their number one concern is, transportation is right at the top." And then later in committee, he said, "This is structured very intentionally in that we want to make sure that these fees that we're implementing, that they're benefiting the user." And then the prime sponsor of the bill, she says in committee, she says, "Now we have to talk about accountability and transparency, because we don't want to have," these are all direct quotes, "because we don't want to have a $5.2 billion package and not be accountable to the voters." And they're going around saying this kind of stuff. In fact, Jared Polis, Governor Polis, when he had the press conference announcing the legislation, he said, quote, "It's rare to see people of so many different perspectives coming together around something that we need to do." They've got all these quotes, and they're going around talking like they've got all this support, and we want accountability, and it's so important. And my question to them is very simple. If you're so concerned about accountability, and you feel like you have so much support, you feel like this is benefiting the user, you could be sure of all those things. Just put it on the ballot.
Well, and definitely. Now, I have to ask you another thing, Ben, and that is that I was surprised to see somewhat kind of the coalition that was coming in and supporting that. And I think, for example, I think the Colorado Motor Carriers Association, that may not be right, but you know, one of them has come in and said that they support it because they want to reduce congestion. That is one of the things that I've seen these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interest parties say to those of us that want to drive on our roads and bridges, that, hey, you let us tax you more and it's going to reduce congestion. And then I was also surprised to see kind of the big Republican group, Colorado Concern, is supporting this as well. And Mike Kopp, who's the head of that, ran for governor on the Republican ticket. So I'm a little concerned about what's happening there with big government and big business on both sides. Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a policy guy now. I've left politics, strictly speaking, right? I used to, well, I guess in D.C. I was a policy guy too, but, you know, I am more a policy guy than a political guy, let's say that. But if I can opine on the political side, I'd say this from my observations and just experience, and that is that politicians of all stripes and groups, you know, that stand to benefit, they're never going to say no to money. You know, it's very rare to see a politician who doesn't get giddy at the thought of having more of your money to spend. And unfortunately, Republicans are often no exception. And as you and I know, there are a few Republicans, even on this bill, who aren't an exception. And, you know, I get that. You know, it's fun to have money because gives you power. And look, if you're an outside group and you've been, you know, you're a stakeholder, you know, and you've been driving on terrible Colorado roads for years, and you see this as sort of the first opportunity that, oh, gosh, maybe they'll finally fix our roads. Let's just throw a weight behind this thing because, you know, their own chance.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I actually get that sentiment. But who's really at fault here is our politicians, who have had opportunity after opportunity for years to use taxpayer money that they already have to fix this problem and to fund our roads. I'm not saying that our roads don't need to get fixed. I mean, gosh, you know, we've got obvious problems. What I'm saying is this isn't the way to do it. The way to do it is not to raise $3.8 billion in regressive new fees. And I say regressive new fees because they are. The gas fee in particular is extremely regressive. Lowest income Coloradans making under $10,000 a year will pay about 10 times more in these regressive new gas fees than Coloradans making over $500,000 a year. So, you know, this isn't the way to do this. And look at the things we've done in the past. Referendum C, right? 2005.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go back, the politicians sort of made a pitch to voters. And by the way, Republicans were in charge, Governor Owens. And look, I understand why they did it, and I'm not necessarily faulting, you know, those who did what they thought was the right thing at the time. But look, they made a pitch to voters, and they said, look, our roads are falling apart, our schools aren't as good as they should be, et cetera, et cetera. Look, give us $15 billion extra over the next, you know, 15 years, which is about what it was. I haven't looked at 2020 numbers, but 2005 to 2019, I think we end up spending the state about $15 billion more than we would have without RFC. He said, send us this $15 billion, and we'll fix our roads, and we'll fix the schools, and we'll make everything better. And so voters said, yeah, I think that needs to get done. And so we did it. We agreed. And yet we hear year after year that our schools are still terrible and our roads are still falling apart. And so what I say is, and then the left comes back and says, well, people just won't pay enough in taxes. This Tabor thing's just in the way, and people don't ever want to approve new taxes. And I say, We did. We gave you $15 billion extra. And you're still telling us our roads are terrible, and you're still telling us our schools need more funding and need to be fixed. That's an indictment on government. That's not an indictment on taxpayers.
Totally agree on that, Ben Murray. Tell you what, Ben, let's go to break. When we come back, well, I guess one thing, is there anything else you want to button up on this? Because I want to talk with you about this change on income taxes as well. Anything else we should button up on the transportation bill?
Or
you want to go ahead on that?
Well, I was going to say there's so much we could say, but I think we've gotten people a pretty good picture. One thing I like to say is that, to break down the numbers, because people don't know what $3.8 billion means. I don't know what $3.8 billion means. You can't really wrap your head around these numbers. So I broke it down very simply. $3.8 billion divided by the number of households in Colorado is about $1,750 per household on average in Colorado. So it's expensive.
Well, oh, my gosh. It really is. And the other thing about it is Patty has researched that only less than 20% of the money is really going to go to roads and bridges. So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's right. And I call it a reverse Robin Hood here, because you say, okay, well, where's the money going then? Primarily, you know, a lot of it is going towards electric vehicles and electric vehicle infrastructure. And we know from studies at the federal level and past at the state level, because we've had subsidies for EVs here in Colorado, and we know that the vast majority of that goes to the highest earners. And we know that the gas tax that's going to fund all of this it costs the lowest earners the most money. So this is really reverse Robin Hood. This is funding electric vehicles for the wealthy on the backs of the poorest Coloradans.
Boy, there's something super immoral about that, Ben Murray. But let's go to break because I want to also talk about this income tax changes as well, and you've written on that. I'm talking with Ben Murray. He is the Fiscal Policy Director with the Independence Institute. Before we do that, though, Father's Day is coming up soon, and I think now with things possibly opening up, there's going to be more weddings to go to, so more wedding gifts to buy. Great place to do all that shopping is at Castlegate Knife and Tool. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're a collector or a sportsman or you need a gift or you're a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. Recommend that you actually go out and visit the store, which is in Sedalia, Colorado, and stop by one of the great restaurants out there then and have lunch. But if you can't do that right now, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com for more information. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Ben Murray.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. And be sure and buy your ticket to our first Salon Series web event. And that is Candid COVID Conversations. It's this Thursday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. We've got a great set of panelists lined up. That's Dr. Jill Vecchio, Matt Durkin, Priscilla Ron, and Sue Kinfield. And Councilwoman Ramey Johnson from Lakewood and I will be the hosts on that. So be sure and go to Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and purchase your ticket there. They're $5 plus a $1 processing fee. Let's continue on with Ben Murray. He is the Fiscal Policy Director of the Independence Institute. And boy, there's another bad boy coming down the pike here as well, Ben, and that is House Bill 21-1311 regarding income tax. What do our listeners need to know about this?
Yeah, you know, I haven't given this as close of a look as I've given the transportation bill, but I've poked around, and this looks to me, this, you know, it just smells to me a lot like House Bill 1420 from last year. I don't know if you guys talked a lot about that with your listeners. But this is the one where they took away several of the CARES Act tax benefits for businesses. So, in fact, I was actually in D.C. when we passed the CARES Act. And what we did is we did different sort of tax benefits to help businesses stay afloat. We're specifically trying to target small businesses that are going to be struggling from the shutdowns and the mandates and that sort of thing. And we at the federal level, did some things to help them out. And state, here in Colorado at least, state income taxes, essentially based on the federal income tax code. So if the feds change something, then Colorado by default changes too, and then the state can do what's called decoupling. So if they don't like something the feds did, then they can decouple. And what that actually does is it increases the revenue, well, in some cases. So if it's for example a deduction or a credit that the feds have, then by taking away that deduction, it actually increases taxes at the state level, and then it gives the state more revenue. And so the state likes to do this because it's free money for them. When the state increases taxes by passing a new tax or something, you have to ask for voter approval. But when they do it by decoupling from federal policy, the courts have said that's not the same. That's not a tax increase for cable purposes. That's free money the legislature and don't ask permission. And so the legislature loves to raise new money for themselves by decoupling. But then what those users who can do is they'll raise the new revenue and then immediately spend it on some tax level credit that they like better than what the feds were doing. And so what they did last year with House Bill 1420, is, and let me just ask you, are you guys keeping up, like 1420? Are we good with, we kind of know about what happened there?
No, tell me again.
So this was, again, just kind of a bill. This was the where they decoupled from some of the CARES Act stuff, and then they expanded the earned income tax credit with the new money they got. Now, when I say they expanded the earned income tax credit, what do I mean? Well, they did a couple things. Number one is they increased the amount that they can get. And the earned income tax credit is a tax credit to low-income families. And by the way, I'm not a big fan of using the tax code to sort of engineer, social engineer and stuff. But as far as low-income tax credits and benefits and things like that goes, the earned income tax credit, the ITC, isn't the worst in the world, in my opinion. And the reason for that is because it's actually, there's a work requirement for it, and it phases up as you work more, and then it eventually actually phases down as you earn too much. So at least it's sort of set up to be an encouragement to work and be productive for those who are struggling, but you can't just get it for not doing anything. But in any case, at the state level, they increase your income tax credit. But what I really have a problem with is they...
Let me just interject, Ben. How about you just lower taxes across the board? That seems to me like that would be a really good idea, right?
Here I am explaining all this complicated tax stuff, and you just made it very simple. See, I agree with you. That's, it's a no-brainer, right? But no, here's the real problem, okay, with 1420 last year. They removed the Social Security requirement to get the income tax credit at the state level. So essentially what they did is they took away benefits from struggling small businesses, and they used that money to extend tax credits to illegal aliens. And what I'm seeing on House Bill 21-1311 is they're kind of doing the same thing. They're taking away different tax benefits from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act at the federal level. And what they've done is they've taken away the requirement for having a Social Security number to get the child tax credit. So again, taking away the tax benefits for Coloradans that were passed as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act when Trump was in office. And they're using that money in part, actually the biggest chunk of the spending there is the child tax credit. And the reason why that's grown is because they've taken away that Social Security requirement. They're extending it to illegal aliens.
Astounding. That's truly astounding. The other thing is going back to the Trump tax cuts, Colorado got a windfall on that as well. And I don't know if it was because it decoupled or what, but ended up, I think they didn't institute everything with the Trump tax cuts, and so Colorado got a windfall on that. It seems like they're getting more and more money consistently. Correct, Ben?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I forget what the windfall was, but it was billions of dollars we got as a result of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passing. TCJA was great, right? Because it did what we really want. We lowered the tax rate and we broadened the tax base, right? So more money. There are fewer places to hide money from taxes. We broadened the base. More money is subject to tax. But we lower the tax rates on everybody. Simplifies the tax code. It's great policy. That's really what you want. But here in Colorado, all the things that we did, right, at the federal level, I say we because I was in D.C. when we did the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but all the things we did to lower the tax, or to broaden the tax base, Colorado benefited from, because it meant automatically more money was subject not only to federal income tax, but more money was subject to state income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the feds offset that, more than offset that, by actually decreasing our tax rates enough that in the end we were paying less in taxes. But the state got all that revenue benefit from the broadening of the base, but they didn't lower the tax rate.
Right. Now, we did pass something this last session, lowering the income tax, but and again, the gyrations that they're going through down at the State House to get more of our tax revenue and to work around Tabor and 117 and lowering the income tax rate, it's just astonishing. And I really feel that it's a disregard, it's a disrespect for everyday hardworking Coloradans. And then when you say, Ben, that they've taken away the requirement that you have a Social Security number, this is now hardworking Coloradans' money is going to people that are here illegally. I'm astounded. We've got just about a minute and a half left. What's your final thought, Ben Murray, that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
You know, there's not a whole lot at this point, this legislative session, we can do about a lot of what the legislature's doing. We as voters, you watch them on the floor, and they're just completely steamrolling in the opposition. So a lot of the stuff is just going to happen. But what we can do is we can take note, and we can go, you know what, the people that we put in power at the state level are not doing our bidding. They're not listening to us. They're steamrolling the voters. They don't care what we have to say. They don't care about Proposition 117. And I think we should remember this next time we have a chance, both to go to the ballot box in November to do things like vote to decrease the gas tax. I think that's going to be on the ballot, hopefully. But also next November when we go to vote, I think voters need to remember that their legislators did not listen to them.
Well, and people need to step up to run for election, people that want to conserve this idea of freedom, lower taxes, the idea that government should be small, the individual should be bigger. That's what we really want to protect on that. Ben Murray, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Mark Twain. He says, a little more kindness, a little less speed. A little more giving, a little less greed. A little more smile, a little less frown. A little less kicking a man while he's down. A little more we, a little less I. A little more laugh, a little less cry. A little more flowers on the pathway of life. And fewer on graves at the end of the strife. Today, my friends, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. You were made for this time. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.